I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience, a podcast where dads can connect and openly share stories. Welcome again to an exciting episode of The Dad Experience. We have a very exciting episode. I'm very honored to have this guest on. I've talked, my wife has went to Wayne State University and has gone on and on about a course that she took with this amazing dad and author, M.L. Liebler. And I happened to run into him and his wife at a concert, and we began talking, and the stories came out even more, and we decided that he'd be a great fit to come on the show. So M.L. Liebler is an internationally known and widely published Detroit poet. He's a university professor, a literary arts activist, and arts organizer. He was named the 2017-2018 Murray E. Jackson Scholar in the Arts Award at Wayne State University. He is the author of 15 books, including the award-winning Wide Awake in Someone Else's Dream. He also has an upcoming recording and vinyl included poetry score. So he's really excited to be here. He's a great dad, and just really happy to have him on the show. So welcome, ML, to the Dad Experience.
Hey, it's really great to be here.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Really, really excited. You know, it was just the planets aligned, I guess. To kind of give a backstory, is we were at a Willie Nelson concert. Willie Nelson, the Blackbird Presents, what was it? The Outlaw Festival, right?
Yeah,
that's what I think it was called. And we happened to be sitting next to you. And my wife has talked about her class with you in the past. And then all of a sudden, we're sitting next to you at a concert. And very excited about having you on. Very accomplished author, but not only an author, but you're a dad. So welcome. And we're really excited to have you.
Oh, it's good to be here. It was good to run into you both. I think Lauren said, 10 years ago, was it? Or something like that.
It probably was something like that.
And I remembered her name, and then I remembered her face when we started talking about it. I'm not sure I remember the class, unless she did mention it.
She didn't mention it to me. I just know about you taking
it. It was probably a required class that I've done for a number of years there, although they just changed the gen ed requirements at Wayne. But it was a literature and writing class, I bet. And I often did it as a world literature class where we read stories from other continents, excluding North America.
Many
of them I had never heard of before I started doing this section. And then we, you know, looked at some films, and it opened a big discussion into the global world that we live in. And students really liked it. I mean, there were times I thought maybe I'll switch it, but students seemed to really like that version of it. I had other versions up my sleeve too, but anyway. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's really cool. And it sounds like it was very impactful because, like I said, my wife has talked about it, and now here we are. So we like to start the show off here at the Dad Experience is just asking everybody, you know, who lives with you at home or who makes up your family?
Well, my family is my wife, of course. We've been together for, next year will be 50 years we've been together. Well,
congratulations.
Hey, thank you. We met in, we met even before that because she was cousins of my best friend I grew up with. And, but we actually started to officially go steady in 1969.
Ooh, the summer of love.
Yeah, right after the summer of love, but it was definitely a summer of love for me. and I knew even before that I wanted to marry her. I didn't even know her as well, but she's a very good person. So, you know, still an incredible person. But anyway, we had two kids. Our son just turned 37, and he works for a creative ad agency in Syracuse, New York. He went to St. Bonaventure University in upstate New York. And he really never came home. He's been out there ever since he graduated from that university. University, which is a university where Thomas Merton taught. I don't know if that means anything to you or the audience, but a very important spiritual monk and leader in the Catholic Church. Okay. But anyway, and then my daughter lives now in Grosse Pointe. For many years, she lived in Detroit and then on the River Walk in some hipster loft. But they just, she's getting married November 1st, and she just, they bought a house in Grosse Pointe several months ago now, and they're getting it fixed up and getting it ready. And so those are my two kids that grew up with us. We were a pretty close-knit family. Probably a not very traditional family, but in ways we'll probably discuss as we go along. But we were very, very close. We did everything together.
Right. And, you know, you mentioned your daughter's getting married in November. And here's one of my, I think it's going to be an exciting time, but one of my biggest fears, how are you feeling up to leading into giving away your daughter? I think about that now. My oldest daughter is not even two yet, and my youngest is 4 months old. But that's something. I read all these books that talk about how they grow and all these things, and it's just like, it's terrifying to me. And I didn't understand when my father-in-law gave my wife away to me, and to see the tears in his eyes. Like, how are you feeling leading up to that? Like, is it something you're excited about? Is it something you have mixed emotions about?
Well, I'm very pleased about it. Her husband-to-be is a great guy. He went to the University of Michigan, and he's a very adept union organizer for the American Federation of Teachers. So, and, you know, we've always been a very strong union working class family. Mm-hmm. So that's really great. And he's perfect for her and wonderful. And, you know, I'll tell you, Adam, once they get to be 30 or even late 20s, walking them down the aisle isn't quite as hard as it might seem to you right now.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, it's kind of like, you know what? You're not coming home anymore. But right. She's really lived on her own. She lived down at Wayne State. She went to Wayne. She loved it. And she lived there. So she's really been in the city for the most part since she was 18.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's,
it's going to be great and wonderful. And it was when my son got married last summer, up in New York at Geneva Lake. And this will be even more exciting and wonderful. So
that's great. Yeah, that's great to hear. That's great to hear that it kind of grows with the children, that kind of happens. It weirds me out a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I read all these books about how they grow old, and it's like, I can't get through some of them.
Yeah, I would have never, you know, imagined, you know, when they were younger, especially like the ages you're talking about, being very young or even as teenagers. But as time goes on, you know, things are in different perspective. And so rather than being apprehensive, I'm extremely happy for mm-hmm. both of them, both kids too, and their wives are great. Wife and husband are great. So yeah, you feel like, hey, you know, these people found the exact right person, as I did all those years ago. So
that's great. That's great. Yeah. That's great. And you know, my question now, because this is a different experience for us and our listeners, and it's great because we have listeners from all over the world and all different walks of life. Now that your children are older and they're in different states or they're in different homes and they're building families of their own, how do you manage spending time with your children? I'm assuming you still want to spend the time with them and see them and just spend that quality family time that you talked
about.
Well,
I do. You know, I mean, my son, I have to say, and maybe most people would say that, but it's true in his case, is very, very cool. He's very hip. I mean, the ad agency he works for is a small creative arts ad agency in New York. It couldn't be a better fit for him. And my daughter's a teacher, so and she's a really, really good middle school teacher. She's innovative and unique, and kids love her. So that's one thing. But yeah, you don't see him as much. I'd like to see my son more, but he's in Syracuse. We stay in touch through FaceTime, and you know, he does have a child from his very first marriage. He was only seven, but we like to get out there as much as we can to see him because he's great and he's wonderful. He's almost like his father was when he grew up. Shane was my kids are Shane and Shelby, and Shane was always a really interesting, innovative, creative, imaginative kid. So now this kid who looks just like him is the same, and it's kind of like reliving, you know, his childhood again with a new kid that, you know, we can then drive back to Detroit. We don't have to live there with them.
Yeah.
I always heard grandparents say, you know, it's great to be a grandparent. You love them, you have fun, but then you can send them home. And I always thought, boy, that's kind of cruel.
Right.
But I understand that now.
Well, and you know, we keep getting that, my wife and I, all the time, that our oldest is very similar to how my wife and I were as kids. We weren't bad kids, but we were into a lot of things and we were very active. I always heard that word. You were very active. And they keep saying, the grandparents on both sides keep saying, paybacks are tough. So they say that to me all the time, and Lauren, and it's interesting, but it's true. It's, you know, and I hear the stories of when I was a child, and you know, when my family, my dad was born in Malta in Europe, and we go over there quite a bit, and they just happened to always say about how into everything I was. And it's interesting to now see that in my daughter, how she's just so curious about life. I think that's the biggest thing. She's curious and she wants to know, and she's, you know, I'm sure every parent says it, but she's super smart and she can, she's very good communication skills for her age. And, it's tough. And I think that's part of it, which is cool though. You know, I'd rather have her active. So, I guess the next thing I'm curious about is, what has been the most exciting thing as a parent, when you see your children grow? Again, this is a totally new territory for the dad experience, which is awesome. And, we haven't had children that are, you know, gone on into careers and stuff yet. So it's kind of neat to have this end of it. So what has been kind of the coolest thing or the most exciting thing as a parent to see your children go through? Or is there more than one? I'm sure there is.
Well, yeah, there probably are. Let's see. It was, you know, really good to see them, you know, go to college and to be engaged in disciplines that they really cared about, and then to see them both kind of really shine in their own, you know, fields. That's one thing, but you know, there's a number of the highlights that you go through the years with my son was, you know, was really, and still is, really into baseball. So there's that whole thing that you'll go through at some point where, you know, he played baseball. And he actually, for a long time, when he was a younger kid, he played in the same league I played in. We've always lived in St. Clair Shores. So I played, and I wasn't Catholic then, but I played in the St. Gertrude Catholic Baseball League, Junior League. And just surprisingly, because we live in the same area, he played for that, you know, for the same team in one case and the same league. So that was really cool. So you go through that whole little league thing. And my daughter was very, very interesting and unique. And she had a great has a great sense of humor. But, you know, she kind of created her own world in which, even as a young child, she was really into teaching. So she would teach our dog and give our dog report cards and things like that. And they're both really into music and popular culture kinds of things, probably because of where we're from. So, or the background that they came from. Anyway, there's so many things along the way. When they graduate high school, then they start college. It's just kind of all cool new experiences to go through, even as a parent. My son was a Boy Scout. I actually wasn't a Boy Scout. I was a Cub Scout, but he started there. And he went through, you know, for a number of years, he was kind of headed towards becoming an Eagle Scout. He was, it really left an impression on him. He loves the outdoors. He loves camping still to this day. He's conveying that to his son. I wasn't really a huge fan of it, but I did it. In fact, I was a leader for, was it Weeblow leader or something like that, mm-hmm. for a couple of years. So, and I went on a lot of these camp out things with them, and, you know, that was really good training for him. I mean, it really taught him a lot, I think, about responsibility and that sort of thing.
Right.
So there's many, many things that go, that happen along life. And every moment though is pretty good there. I don't really, I'm sure some parents have that, but I don't really have any regrets or you know, many horrible moments, you know, along the way. Our kids actually, I mean, people say this, but in our case, it really is true. They were just good kids. They didn't really get in trouble. My son started smoking cigarettes, but, you know, what are you going to do? Right. And when he was a teenager. But, you know, neither of them, you know, got pulled over for drunk driving or none of them used drugs, you know. So it's that's been very good. I mean, I hope you'll experience that as well.
Yeah, I hope I do too. So did your experience as a poet or a writer or even networking or meeting with other poets and writers influence or have an influence on your parenting style or your parenting?
Well, you know, one of the things, and I was thinking about this since we were talking about sometime doing this program, one of the things that I did with my kids is we never, I think my wife's coming in, but, you know, we never lived any kind of phony or fake existence. Now, that might seem a little bit too much for maybe your average parents or something. But, you know, we just, I guess it was J.D. Salinger that ruined me as a young child. I hated pretension and phoniness. So I made a conscious decision that we were going to live a very open and honest kind of life. No, my kids don't call me by my first name or anything. We're not that kind of liberal or eccentric. But, mm-hmm. you know, they knew what I did. I don't think they understood it. In fact, I was just telling, I brought them to readings and, you know, the typical things when I was on radio shows and so forth. So, you know, I just did my thing and, you know, I spent, you know, a lot of quality time, I think, with them and with my wife and family. But I had a different kind of life, you know, because I've been an active poet and performer and all of that stuff. And so there were times when they were not really young, probably in their teenage years, when I didn't start going on the road per se until like the mid 90s. So they might have been just about entering their teen years. But we did have a lot of famous poets and people stay at our house. And that was really seemed to be more annoying to them than cool. You know? And I was just telling somebody this story recently. A lot of people have stayed in our house. A lot of maybe musicians and poets you know of from the Beat Generation and all that mm-hmm. stuff, and others as well. But, you know, I was doing a lot of work around the, you know, 2001, 2003 or so with Country Joe McDonald from Country Joe mm-hmm. and Fish. Yeah. And so he stayed with us quite a bit when he came here, and I stayed with him out there at his house in Berkeley. But, you know, up until the kids discovered that he was, quote, a famous person, he, you know, he, like all the other people, were just annoyances and and sort of inconveniently, you know, taking up their space in ways in our house. And so we were sitting at the breakfast table one time with Country Joe, and, you know, he had just made Pam some of his special salad dressing. You know how those people are in California. So anyway, we were having breakfast, and he was just talking to me and Pam about, you know, that this at that time, this anniversary of Woodstock. Do you know what Country Joe is? Maybe you don't.
Yeah, no, I do. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it was Woodstock. Yeah, I know.
Well, Woodstock, right. So at that time, it was some anniversary. It must have been 99 or something.
It was 99 because I think they actually did a second concert in 99. That was a big disaster.
Oh, did they? Okay. Well, yeah. Prior to that, for the anniversary, there was a commercial on TV.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. With Country Joe and John yep. Sebastian looking right. down in the valley, and they're going, oh my God, these old people, they're naked. And anyway, that was like a Coke or a Pepsi commercial. And the kids had seen that because they watched TV, you know. Mm-hmm. And he was just talking about that. And then they also at that time, and maybe you did too, if you know, you're young, they watched the Animaniacs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they had an episode that was kind of a mock-up of Woodstock. And Country Joe's character was Flappy the Squirrel or something like that. I've never seen these cartoons. I mean,
I know what you're talking about. I don't remember that episode, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so he's just talking about it. And I go, wait a minute. Flappy the Squirrel is a real person? And he said, well, you know, they modeled it after me. And then they were like, oh, my God. And you were on TV in that commercial. And all of a sudden it was like he was the coolest guy in town.
Right. Exactly.
So so that's an example of the kind of childhood, you know, my kids had.
Right. Well, then that's pretty cool. So
yeah, they were exposed to a lot of stuff. And like I said, when I did readings, I did stuff with music, and I there's a lot of things that I did with unique little instruments and stuff. And, you know, if it was an outdoor festival like the Ann Arbor Art Fair and I was on a stage doing something, I'd bring them up with me. And then I started taking my son on the road with me for, you know, gigs, mostly gigs and baseball. When I think he was four his first time. And that, you know, was, I took him to his first baseball game. Do you have a son or just a daughter or both?
For me, I have two daughters.
Oh, okay. But I took my son to his first baseball game. He was a little over one. And in fact, I had at the old Tiger Stadium, I had to prop him up to lean on a chair because he couldn't, you know, walk or stand very well. So he's been kind of a real devotee of baseball, and my daughter too, actually, ever since. But I used to go to Chicago and do a lot of readings. And what I would do is we would go to see, you know, the Cubs played during the day because they didn't have lights back then. Mm-hmm. And then I, you know, his Uncle Carl, where I stayed, would watch him, and I'd go do my readings at night. So I really was kind of using poetry to get to see the Cubs play and take and he went quite a bit. We actually saw every major or a National League team play series. I mean, we'd go all the time. Sometimes there's once or twice a year where the Cubs play during the day and then the White Sox are home at night. So we'd watch the day game and then jump on the Dan Ryan and go down to
right.
Comiskey Park. So, you know, this is the kind, I don't know if I'm giving their flavor, but this is the kind of childhood these kids had.
No, that's really cool. It sounds like they lived a cool worldly life, which is you know, what I hope for my children, too.
He took him to New York when he was, I think, 12.
Plus, we went on family vacations to Traverse City.
Yeah, we did a lot of family vacations, too.
Right.
It wasn't
my sister's kids.
We went to Traverse City, and we used to go to Kings Island. I think I always snuck a reading in while we were in Cincinnati.
Always got to work, right?
Well, you know, I wish I didn't, but I still do stupid stuff like that.
You know, though, but that's a passion too. And that kind of leads into your, you know, that your work-life balance and doing those things or your personal time. So when you were raising your children, how did you find that balance or spend that personal time where you weren't always working, or, you know, how did you handle that? Did you always set aside time, or was it always like you did like those trips and then you would do something at night, but then the rest of the day was devoted to them, or kind of how did you find that balance?
Well, you know, there was a balance. There wasn't any question of that, because, you know, a poet doesn't read poetry. I mean, at least me, every day. So, you know, that was kind of sporadic during a week or a month or whatever. But the other thing was teaching allowed me at first to, and then, you know, after a while, many years later, but when they were real little, it allowed me to be sort of a house husband all summer. So from May until August in those days, I was, you know, here. I was the person, you know, that took care of them, had to change diapers and then think of interesting, fun things for us to do even before they knew what interesting and fun was. And we did a lot of that kind of stuff.
No, that's,
you know, I would make dinner, and I would take them on the other side of it. And I have a chapter in my memoir that I've been working on. You know, I used to take them and, you know, get them all bundled up and stuff. And my daughter was a little younger, and take them to the record store.
Nice.
And my son always enjoyed that, as even though he might have been, I don't know, 4 or 5. And my daughter was like 3 in a snowsuit, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And, but I, you know, they go with me, to the record store and run around and do crazy things. And while I look at albums, so there was a lot of common, things that we did. I liked movies. They liked movies. Pam liked movies. So we did a lot of movies. We did a lot of, oh, I don't know. You're probably doing some of it. I don't know if we ever did Sesame Street Live. Yeah, I guess we did. I guess we did do that.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
That was pretty interesting, because when I was a kid, Adam, as my wife accuses me, I never was one. But,
no, she was.
But then others say that, you know, that I'm just a big kid.
Watch Johnny Carson.
Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't like watch cartoons and read comic books. And I didn't watch kid shows other than Howdy Doody and, you know, Melky the Clown, maybe.
Right.
And I'd fantasize about putting my hand in the penny and in the fishbowl with pennies. But, you know, I didn't, that was my life. I was really turned on to Elvis, and I was really young. I was really into rock and roll music because my grandmother turned, I was raised by my grandparents. So when, anyway, having kids allowed me to kind of, you know, experience that stuff. Like, I'd never seen Disney movies as a kid because I only went to Elvis movies. You know what I mean? So I saw with them, I remember Pinocchio and Bambi, and I'd heard about these, you know, these cartoons, but I'd never seen them before.
Right.
So I got a chance to kind of catch up on a lot of little things that I didn't care about doing then. And I played, I did play a lot of music, and the kids and everybody danced upstairs.
Yeah, and you know,
that was a regular occurrence. Yeah, maybe you do that again.
No, it's very interesting. It's funny because my upbringing too. I know I saw Sesame Street. We did some of the live stuff, but what I do remember for me was growing up. My mom's a music teacher. I'm a music teacher now, and growing up with the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, and this is very 80s, but putting on the roller skates in the basement and putting on the record player and listening to my parents, you know, LPs and listening to, you know, introducing the Beatles. Like, my mom had all the old VJ recordings, not even the record label ones. So, I mean, I grew up with that too. I don't remember children's music much. And it's funny because I try to do that now. We do some children's music, but the stuff we try and listen to, we try and find the family friendly versions of just music, of just anything. You know, it could be current. Most of it's more, you know, funk, classic rock, R&B stuff, but a lot of it we try and just do original stuff. So it's very interesting that that's that. We did sometimes Sesame Street or those live shows, but more so as a family, we would do live concerts. Like, I remember seeing one of the last Beach Boys concerts where they were all together except for Dennis Wilson. It was at the GM Tech Center here in Warren, Michigan. That was like my first concert in 1988. And then I remember going to see the Stones at the Silver Dome. And so, I mean, that was kind of my upbringing too. I mean, it was all all based and rooted in that kind of stuff. And so
wait, did you say, was Brian Wilson with them too?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That was, you remember when they did the Heartbeat of America promo stuff for GM? They kicked off that tour here, and I believe, don't quote me for sure, but I believe John Stamos actually played drums on that tour.
No, it might have been true.
Yeah. It was 88, and I remember it was a cool concert. It was a free show for all the employees and the families right there on the lawn at the tech center, and it was pretty neat. It was pretty neat. We got to see that.
Well, we did that too. We, a lot of, you know, the kids went with us, like especially to Pine Knob, yep, or Meadowbrook, mm-hmm, you know, like to Allman Brothers shows or Taj Mahal at, yeah, Meadowbrook, or, you know, things like that, yeah, was kind of a regular thing too.
No, yeah, and that's kind of where we're at too. But we still, you know, I still don't understand the whole big deal about Elmo right now. And that's like what all these kids love, even my daughter included. They just love Elmo, and it's like, man, I don't remember.
I think that was big when our kids were little.
I don't remember ever attaching to Elmo. I mean, it just seems like, I don't know.
I know. It's strange. I hear you.
It's strange. So we encourage all the music. You know, I remember my daughter's first tune that she loved to dance to when she was starting to figure out rhythm and beat, and she loved, mm-hmm, dance to the music. I mean, that was her tune. Oh, yeah. That was her tune. And my youngest now, her tune is, well, both of them have a special song I sing to them at night. And my oldest is Mercedes-Benz, Janis Joplin tune. And then my...
Well, that's just one quick thing there. The guy who wrote the lyrics to that is a famous poet, but he's also a very good friend of mine.
Really?
And yeah, Michael McClure, you can look
him, yeah,
up. Your audience can Google him.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But he actually wrote the lyrics for
that. Neat. Neat.
And so he gets a percent. You know, he was in the movie The Last Waltz. So, mm-hmm. And so that's someone my kids would have met.
Yeah, that she loves. Every night I hear, what song do you want me to sing? And it's always Mercedes-Benz. My oldest. Oh, that's cool. And then my youngest, she just loves My Girl, Temptation. So, I mean, they each have their own little song, and we sing to them. And, I mean, it's a big part of our life, too. You know, it's music and
that's,
song,
yeah,
and
that's
lyrics.
Great. That's really
important. No, and it is. And they love to dance, and we dance. It's goofy. We like to dance together in the living room. Actually, we had a photographer come when our youngest was born, and they're like, well, what are the things, her question, sent us a questionnaire. I was like, what are one of the things that you guys like to do as a family? And I said, we love to dance in the living room. And that was kind of one of the things she tried to capture, because it was such a big deal. It's important. I mean, I always look back. There was, I talked about this, I think, on a previous episode or an episode that's coming out, but I look at, I don't know, did you catch the James Corden karaoke thing with Paul McCartney that he did a couple months ago or a month ago?
Yeah, we did. And in fact, we're going to LA Wednesday, and Thursday my daughter's got us tickets. I mean, she's going.
That's cool.
His show.
But I was watching that, and I'm like, you know, what other experience? I sat there, my daughter was in awe watching it, and just like kind of jaw dropped, my oldest. And I was watching it, and I was watching the people and all the people coming in. And I said to my wife, and I think my dad or my father-in-law was here. And I said, this is crazy that look at all the people that are there, and they're so excited to be there to just see and experience music and have this feeling that it brings them of happiness and joy. And you can tell in that audience and that, and I've got chills thinking about it. Not one person in there is thinking about anything but having a good time listening to good music, and they're, yeah, all there together and having a good time, and there's no other concern, and you can see it. And there's nothing else that does that other than the arts like that. I don't think, I mean,
right.
And that's why it's, I think it's so important to our family, to just, because it builds so much on love and respect and just understanding each other. And it's super important. And I think that's one of our biggest, the most important things for my wife and I too, in our house. And it sounds like that's what it was for you guys too.
Yeah. It's very similar, actually. Yeah. So, absolutely.
But yeah. So now the kids are older and all that stuff. But if you can think back, how did you and your wife manage spending the time together that you two needed? Because, you know, I keep hearing from all kinds of parents, you know, young and older, that, you know, you still need to find that time for you and your wife. So how did you manage that when the kids were younger?
Well, you know, I don't think it was ever really an issue. What we did is, you know, you always have a certain amount of alone time no matter what, but we did everything with the kids. And probably what I miss the most after that was, you know, all of us being together doing these things, because we, and I was raised by my grandparents, so as a kind of an only child, and, you know, everything we did was together. So my family just became an extension of that, and it really pretty much still is, you know, other than our son living in New York and our daughter in Girls
Point. Right.
We didn't really like Empty Nest.
Yeah, we didn't. Empty Nest was pretty hard.
Really?
At first. I do remember you're talking about reading books and stuff. I do remember getting, you know, books and reading about these, you know, depressing feelings that I was having and so forth, and how to reconcile all that. So there were, you know, I mean, it didn't extend for years and years, but it was a noticeable period in our life. And then you get to the point where, you know, you don't want anybody coming back, you know.
So it's the ups and downs, but
it is. But yeah, there is that comes later.
Right.
You'll experience that.
So. Right. And, you know, and maybe you can elaborate more on it, but I keep hearing from folks too, I always wonder, and my wife said it a few times, like, man, I'm going to miss when she says this way, or as they grow, or this age, or this, you know, this size, or, and what I keep hearing from people is, yeah, it's great. And then, and you love those memories, but the next year or the next day or the next month brings you a new experience kind of jump off of. So it's very hopeful to hear that. As you grow, or your children grow, you grow too emotionally, is what it's sounding like to in your experience.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You go through that sort of, I mean, you know, even to this day, I still, you know, picture my daughter anyway, as, you know, she was when she was like 2 or 3 years old. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I accuse her of acting like that too. But you know what I mean? I still kind of think back to those times of innocence and joy, and those are all good memories, you know, but life has a way of, you know, kind of taking care of itself and adjusting. Mm-hmm. I always told my son, you know, I mean, I told him when he had his child, you know, 'cause it's something I had to learn too. And I read it somewhere, and I kept that image in my mind that, having a child, everything changes in your life. And it's like a tree growing into a fence. You know, the tree grows into it, and it just becomes part of the fence, gets, you know, connected with it. And it's a similar kind of thing, you know, having children at first and trying to understand that, and what's your role, and, you know, what am I, you know, how am I going to be as a father or mother, or, but you know, that just kind of happens. It's like the tree doesn't say, you know, I'm going to avoid that fence there and I'm going to grow around it. It just like grows up and it grows into it. And that's what, you know, having kids is like, I think. So I told my son that, and, you know, he kept that in mind with his own child too, and said, yeah, it's like a tree growing into a fence.
And that's,
my grandchildren are really great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think your kids are great?
then you can send them home,
right? And you know, that's a beautiful sentiment. And I think this is a good place for me to take a short break. But before we do that, just remind folks that we are a part of the Parents on Demand Network. You can get the Parents on Demand Network from their app on the iTunes or Google Play Store. You can get our podcast along with many other parenting podcasts that are out there, just like this one, that are great. So check that out and stick around after the break for our favorite segment that we like to ask all of our guests, things we can't wait to share or have shared through our children's eyes. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. We're here with ML. ML's an awesome dad and a very experienced poet and writer, and have been learning a lot. This is one of the most inspiring and best learning experiences as a father that I've had so far, and hopefully most of our listeners feel the same way about that. But we have a reoccurring segment here, ML, of that we like to ask all of our parents, and we kind of tweak it to whatever it works for them. So in your case, it may not have happened yet, but you may have already had this experience. What were the things, or are the things, that you can't wait to see through your children's eyes, that you experienced maybe as a child, or you experienced as a father, that you're going to see through your children's eyes now, as you're a grandfather and they're having children? You know, what are those things? Do you have anything that kind of specific, or that you remember?
Well, I'm looking for when my daughter has kids, for, we talked about this earlier, for the payback. That's one thing. But,
and it is a thing. That is a thing. I'm going to tell you right now. It's a thing. My parents have been telling me, and Lauren's parents have been telling her the same thing. So it is a thing.
Yeah, I've been thinking it. Now I am going to start saying it. I'm going to come out on that, you know. But I mean, one of the things I'm just thinking back to is through my children, I was able to, you know, to do many of the things that for whatever reason I did not do as a kid. So, you know, a lot of the, I don't know why it is, but I guess it is because when you're raised as an only child with older folks, you know, you're kind of raised in a different situation than maybe someone who has siblings, like my wife has brothers and sisters and stuff. Well, when you're by yourself, all the time with older folks, and my parents weren't intellectuals. I mean, they were just working class people, totally. My grandfather worked on the line at Dodge Maine for 33 years, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff. But it was like being with an adult all the time. I think that does have an impact, or did have an impact on me. So a lot of the things that weren't of interest to me, if it wasn't related to music, especially rock and roll music and stuff, I wasn't that interested in. I didn't sit around and watch cartoons on Saturday mornings, things like that. But I did get a chance. I didn't do much of that with my kids because I don't like cartoons. I always told them I like to put the cartoons on and turn the chair around and just listen to how weird it sounds. You might try that.
Yeah. Tonight.
It's very strange, you know. It's almost like surrealism, Dada art. But so I was able to do that, and then you know the stuff that we did a lot of things like that I wanted to do anyway. So like I liked going to the zoo all the time, right. You know. I liked going to baseball games all the time. I didn't really see a line dividing. You know, things that were enjoyable in life and parenthood. It was like all one big experience. And even when we went away on vacation, the stuff that they did, I liked playing because I didn't do it as a kid, but I liked jumping on trampolines and I liked going in go-karts and I liked doing putt-putt golf and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I liked that, the spontaneity of those mm-hmm. things. So I don't know if that's really the question.
No, it totally is. It totally is. And now you're going to get to share that again with, you know, as you have grandchildren.
Yeah, and I'm doing the same thing. We're in New York just 2 weeks ago, I think. And, you know, we did the things that got to be, I don't know, what was it, about 9 o'clock? And it was like, let's go get some ice cream, man.
Right.
You know, let's try to find the ice cream place. And, you know, so we put the little kid in the kid seat and me and grandma jump in the car. And I think my son was out with his wife. They had an event they had to go to. So we're out driving around Syracuse, eating, you know, sea salt ice cream. And, you know, it's just like, okay, let's just do this. Who cares? You know, I mean, I wouldn't do that at 3 a.m.
Right. But you know, and those,
you know what I mean? But it's like, got nothing to measure
right
up
and those
to.
Are the memories though that they remember. I mean, I still remember going in the motorhome with my grandparents, and those were the memories, going driving down, and it wasn't even mm-hmm. being at Disney World or wherever we went. It was driving down and being as a family and doing those things and getting stuck and breaking down in Kentucky or wherever. I mean, it was those things that made those memories. So no, you're absolutely, it's an awesome answer, and it's really, really neat to see, and things that are exciting for some of us that are parents that are just starting out, or the listeners that are parents that are just starting out or haven't had children yet that are looking forward to growing and having that tree grow around and into the, or not around, but into that fence, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. That's what happens. And then the next thing you know, you're older and that's good too.
Right.
You know, I don't want to be a kid. I don't want to be 30. I don't want to mm-hmm. be 40. My wife, you know, I'm happy. I'm fine where I'm at. In fact, I have a newer poem that in a sense, just to kind of, you know, connect to that, that says something like, you know, I think I was built more for the end than the beginning. So I kind of feel that way.
And speaking of your work and different things, you know, what do you have working on now, or how can people find you, or where can they find, are you touring, doing any of your poetry or music, or you know, how can people find you and look you up?
Well, I have a website that I try my best to keep the schedule updated. It's ML Liebler, LIEB like in boy, LER.com.
Okay. We'll mark that in the show notes too, so folks.
Yeah, mark that. And it's, you know, I try to, if you go to it, you'll see a ton of stuff that either just happened or is going to happen. I go to Los Angeles a couple of times a year to do things, and we're heading out Wednesday, and I have a show there on Friday in Venice. Nice. And we've had a bunch of them. You know, I told you, I think I mentioned that I wrote this story about growing up with the Beatles, and I have since set it to music, and it's a pretty funny story, I have to say. And with video behind us on a big screen. And we've been doing that in libraries for 5 years, and we're going to do it in Marshall, Michigan. Oh, cool. And then in September, Chelsea, right after Labor Day, and then in October at Wayne Community College. But we've already done, gosh, I don't know how many shows this year.
That's great.
Yeah, so that keeps me busy. I published three books last year, three different kinds of books, a poetry book, the Heaven Was Detroit book, and then Bob Seger's House, which is a collection of Michigan fiction, all on the Wayne State University Press. And, you know, that's available at independent bookstores or Amazon or wherever you buy books. It's pretty available. And this year I'm working on next summer. I have another anthology of poems that I put together on Detroit music, kind of the literary version of Heaven Was Detroit, which is essays from jazz to hip hop. This is going to be poems that famous poets and some songwriters have written about Detroit or connecting to Detroit music, you know, from jazz through hip hop. So it's got Eminem in it. It's got Jack White actually wrote a poem. Fats Domino's in it. Robbie Robertson. And then, of course, a lot of the famous poets, Phil Levine and Rita Dove and June Jordan. And so it's going to be a great book. It's called I Just Want to Testify, Poems About Detroit Music. Michigan State's doing that. And then I've been working this year on this that memoir, which is called Hound Dog, a poet's memoir of rock revolution and redemption. I'm thinking maybe by 2020 we'll get that out. And then I'm also compiling, you know, another book of poems for 2021. Great. So, and Wayne State is sort of my publisher, so I do most of what I
That's
do.
That's really...
them. I'm working on that. I'm doing these shows. I'm doing readings. I started doing this summer, I was telling my wife, just solo readings again, just me doing a reading. And I did a couple in New York in June, and seems like I've done a couple of other ones. And I did one in Pittsburgh recently. And, you know, it's like, it's just, you know, I can do that too. You know, I don't have to have a bunch of musicians because I do music and poetry all the time. In fact, we're playing down at the, what's it called? The rock. It's something about cars and rock music. It's at Hart Plaza, the weekend of August 17th. We're on the 19th with the Coyote Monk Poetry Band. So
cool.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, I'm doing that. I've actually been doing way more stuff since I've been off this last year than when I'm working. I've been busier, I should say, you know, traveling around. And then every year we do the March Magical Mystery Tour through Wayne State to England, to Liverpool, London.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And we look forward to hearing more. And I'm sure our listeners will be checking out all the things that you're doing and have going on. So really excited about that. And really, thanks a lot for being here today and spending some time with us on the Dad Experience.
Thank you. Right on.
All right. Well, yeah, check out our show notes for ML's website. You can get it there. And then all of our information, you know how to get a hold of us. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening to The Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.